And now the game where we invite accomplished people on to come and talk about something other than what they accomplished. It's called Not My Job. 13 years ago or so, an aspiring filmmaker in New Jersey, working in a convenience store, maxed out his credit card, sold his comic book collection, threw in the settlement from a wrecked car to make a movie about working in a convenience store. That movie, Clerks, became the beginning of a cycle of films comparable to the Godfather cycle or the Police Academy movies. Except all these movies are about slackers in New Jersey, basically. Well, people like those need their own epic as well. Kevin Smith, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you very much, sir.
I just want to make sure, I know that you're, in addition to being a filmmaker, you're a big comic book guy, so I wanted to ask you, did I get the origin tale correct? Were those details, in fact, true?
You did. You left out the part where I shot a man just to watch him die.
Yeah, well, of course.
As well as the part where I shot a man just for snoring, which it was covered in the Time Life series of books about me.
But you were, I mean, back in the late 80s, early 90s, there seemed to be a few guys like yourself, Richard Rodriguez, guys who just were guerrilla filmmakers, going out, you know, doing stuff after hours, not getting permission, shooting stuff like John Favreau shot stuff in a casino without permission. You were one of those guys. And what do you know? It worked out for you.
It did kind of pan out, all that sneaking around and whatnot. We shot in a convenience store after hours, and nobody knew, but we barely had permission, and I built a career on that.
Yeah. What's interesting to me, though, is a lot of the guys who do what you did, who make it big with an independent film, well, then they go on and they make much bigger Hollywood movies. You know,
yes.
The guy who made Memento, for example, now directing the big Batman movies.
Right.
You didn't. In fact, you continued to make movies quite literally about the same group of people, the same extended group of characters moving from movie to movie.
I was feeling pretty good about my accomplishments until you pointed that out.
Yeah.
Suddenly I was like, you're right. Those dudes were smart and I'm a dumbass. All right. I get it.
Surely, I mean, they must have come to you with offers over the years to take over some of these big movies, right?
They have from time to time, and sometimes I've flirted with it, but at the end of the day, I've always kind of ran away scared.
Which one did you throw back in their faces?
Green Hornet was the one I threw back in their faces
most
recently.
Yeah,
good move.
But then Seth Rogen turned around and picked it up, so now he's going to turn it into something huge. You know, the guys who was in Knocked Up.
Knocked
and whatnot.
Up, 40-year-old version.
Yes, so I'm going to look like a really big idiot when that movie turns out to be something huge.
I got to ask you about this. One of the movies that you made back in New Jersey was, in fact, Jersey Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that became famous because, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong about this, because I might well be, but that was the set on which the whole Bennifer phenomenon.
That's where their relationship kind of came to the fore.
We're talking about your friend Ben Affleck, who starred in many of your movies, as well as Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Yes. And that was, I mean, for a while, this was sort of back before we had Britney, I guess, or at least had her in the way that we have her now.
That was. Can you remember a time where cover of Us Weekly wasn't Britney Spears?
I know. But
at one point it was Ben and Jen.
Yeah, that must have been kind of crazy.
It was crazy and didn't help the movie one lick. That was the really sad part.
Well, that was the funny thing, because back in the old days, of course, the movie studios used to promote the romances between the stars in the hope and, I guess, the expectation, in the reality, that people would then come see it, because you're like, wow, I've read all about these guys. We'll see if they have sparks on screen. That did not seem to happen with Jersey Girl. It didn't help the movie.
No, thanks you for bringing up a very painful memory. It did kind of backfire in our case. I think by the time the movie came out, people were like, we're so sick of these two. Didn't help that the movie sucked, but, you know.
Did you think it works in the reverse? If people have real-life chemistry, it doesn't work on screen?
I don't know. I thought their chemistry in the movie was actually good, but I just thought it was people might have felt like we've had enough of these two already. And at that point, they were talking about how when stars' romances, if they're paired up in a movie and paired up in real life, it always backfires at the box office. And then a few months later, Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out and did like $150 million, and I was like, I guess I can't hide behind that excuse anymore.
Kevin, you said it didn't help that the movie sucked. Do you really feel like the movie sucked?
I love the movie, but I've certainly read enough criticism of the movie to understand what people didn't dig about it. But you know, making a movie, you got to love them all. If you write and direct them, you kind of, they're like your kids. And Jersey Girl is kind of like the really slow kid. We call that movie Special.
Well, Kevin Smith, we're delighted to have you with us. In fact, we've asked you here to play a game that we always call
They said I was mad at the Academy. Mad.
Chill up my spine. The scientific method involves, of course, hypothesis, experiment, and analysis. Sometimes, though, it calls also for being utterly nuts. Thanks to a new book called Elephants on Acid, we've learned about three real scientific experiments carried out by real scientists over the last century that seemed as if, well, the scientists were on acid. Answer two questions out of three correctly, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is filmmaker Kevin Smith playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Elizabeth DeLeon of Derby, Kansas.
Ready to play, Kevin?
I got to be honest with you, just to, and I'm going to call it like Babe Ruth and say that I'm going to win this game.
Yeah.
But watch me lose it, because all the best intentions always go to hell.
All right, but you think you got this? You think you're all over this?
I think I do. We discussed this on we do a podcast called Smodcast, and me and Scott Mosier, my partner, just discussed this book at great length 2 weeks ago. So I'm ready, man. Hit me. Whoever I'm playing for, you're going to win.
All right. We have another category for. We're switching to category B. We're going to ask you about successful movies starring Jennifer Lopez. We're going to. No, I mean, hell, if we've made this mistake, then you benefit, sir. Here we go. Your first experiment. In 1963, scientists working in the newfangled field of electronics demonstrated a remarkable prototypical invention. What was it? Was it A, a pocket-sized portable telegraph machine? B, a live bull operated by remote control? Or C, a 200-pound electric newspaper?
I'm going to go with B.
The live bull.
Yeah.
You're right.
Wow.
I can see how this is going to go. Yes, it was a live bull, remote control. Yale researcher Jose Delgado implanted an electronic probe into the brain of a bull, and then standing in front of it, in a bull ring, he let the bull charge him. At the last second, he pushed a remote control, and the bull stopped in its tracks. Just meandered about. All right, your second question. Many experiments concern the behavior of animals, sometimes to the animal's detriment. In the 1930s, a scientist named Winthrop Kellogg became interested in the differences between chimpanzees and humans. To find out, he did what? A, he adopted a chimp and raised it as his own child along with his infant son. B, shaved an adult chimp and introduced it to unsuspecting people as his assistant, Ivan. Or C, left it on the corner of Madison Ave and 32nd Street and watched what it did from a nearby car.
I know this. It's A, sir. It's A.
All right. Do you want to explain it or should I, you know?
I can explain it.
You can. Go ahead, because I think we should
so
just go
he brings
it.
He brings this chimp home and raises it beside his kid, and he's hoping that the chimp will start exhibiting more human behavior. And he was very frustrated by age 5, because the chimp and his son were the same age, very frustrated around the age of 5 that the chimp wouldn't speak, but then became more frustrated when his son didn't speak and started, like, pointing at things and grunting like the chimp.
Exactly right.
And that's when the doctor was like, we got to get this chimp out of here.
Exactly. You're right. You're exactly right. You do know this exactly. The only thing I'll say is it wasn't 5 years. He ended the experiment at about 9 months.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. He didn't raise the chimp with his son for 5 years.
That I think my version of the story is way more
interesting. I think... All right. This is purely pro forma because clearly, you know what you're doing here. But last question. Two scientists at the University of Pennsylvania became interested in answering the age-old question, what's the minimal sexual stimulus needed to excite a male turkey?
I know this.
So they found out, Kevin.
In fairness, Kevin, who don't know that?
What's even more frightening is I knew this before the book.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
I'll tell you what.
Do you know this?
Hold on.
Before we're gonna play this out. We're going to play out the string, as they say in baseball. They found out that a male turkey could get all hot and bothered simply by what? Was it A frozen turkey from the supermarket? Was it B, a fake turkey head on a stick? Or was it C, a 54-year-old male biologist saying, gobble, gobble, gobble?
It is B, sir.
Yes,
B.
It is, Mr. Smith. My God.
May I explain?
You know what? I'm going to go out and get a drink of water. You go ahead.
What happened was the scientist presented a male turkey with first a female turkey, and of course they responded amorously. Then they put a female turkey dummy in front of it, and it still responded amorously. And then they decided to see how many parts of that dummy they could remove before the turkey would lose interest. And so they took away the legs, they took away the wings, then they took away the body to the point where it was just a fake turkey head on a stick. And the male turkey was still interested. The male turkey
was... That's because the male turkey thought it was a supermodel.
Well, Carl, I'm embarrassed to even ask, but how did Kevin Smith do on our quiz?
He called it, Peter. He had three correct answers, so Kevin wins our prize for Elizabeth de Leon. Kevin, way to go.
Thank you.
Kevin Smith is an actor, screenwriter, and director of films such as Clerks and Dogma, Mallrats, many others. He directed the premiere episode of Reaper, airing Tuesday on the CW Network, and he has just written a book called My Boring Ass Life, based in his blog. He also, we're not done yet, has a podcast called Smodcast. Kevin Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
what a great fun to have you.
Bye-bye. A lot of fun. Thank you.